2 years ago, Beyoncé unleashed two major projects. On Netflix, a documentary captured the process of putting on headlining appearances at the Coachella Music Festival. She also surprise released a double-length live album containing just some of the highlights from Beyoncé's Coachella performances. Both projects are called Homecoming, and they help immortalize a huge stage show full of dancers and drum lines and impeccable choreography and songs that reach across Beyoncé's career. I'm Stephen Thompson. It's homecoming season, and there's never a bad time to talk about Beyoncé. So in this encore episode of NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour, we are revisiting our conversation about Beyoncé's homecoming.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Capital One. With Early Paycheck, you can get your direct deposit up to 2 days earlier. And with no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank. Capital One N.A., member FDIC.
Welcome back. Joining us today is Sydney Madden of NPR Music. Hi, Sydney.
Hi, Stephen.
Great to have you here in New York. We've got Brittany Luce, co-host of the podcast The Nod. Hey, Brittany.
Hey.
And also in New York, in the same room as Brittany, is music writer Kiana Fitzgerald. Welcome back to the show, Kiana.
Hello. Thank you for having me back.
Oh, we are thrilled to have you. We're
so thrilled is an understatement right now, Stephen.
So fair warning, this is an enthusiastic panel. There is a lot of energy percolating. Just a quick note, we are recording this just a day or so after the launch of Homecoming, a Beyoncé film. By the time this episode drops, Beyoncé may have done all sorts of things. May have dropped a new album. Who knows? If that happened, we are recording this on Thursday, the day after the drop. Sydney.
Yes. So picture this as like the let out post homecoming. So we're all still processing, all right?
Yes.
So Sydney, you were at Beachella. You saw this happen live in the audience. You were covering this for NPR Music. What did you think of the show?
Yes, I was there in the flesh last year. And as you said, I was covering for NPR Music and I was however many thousands of rows back. But yeah, I felt that electricity, that organized chaos, that Christmas morning, tingling feeling. And I want to say, reliving it now with this 2-hour documentary with all this context added, it's very, very close to bottling that electricity.
Nice.
Yeah, and on the night of Beachella, there was so much energy in the air that it really felt like a homecoming for everyone in the Beehive. I was thousands of rows back. And for a show like that, you got to stake your claim. You got to find your spot early afternoon. Mm-hmm. She didn't go on till like 10 or 11, but people were standing where they were standing in the show for 4-5 hours prior.
I was wondering about that.
Yeah. I would have done it.
Oh my God.
Oh, for sure.
People went to the bathroom. People went to the bathroom like, and they took turns. They took turns getting drinks, everything like that. And I remember I made friends with a group of Australian women, and it was Australian women from like all colors and creeds. It was so fascinating. And to just like find a kindred spirit in the Beehive all the way across the world at Coachella was great. But as the show started, there was some really annoying guy, and I don't want to spend too much energy on it, but he was really annoying, and he was trying to talk over asking his friends if he wanted to go get a drink, and the Australian woman with a crown full of Bantu knots, she spins around, and she was like, "No, this is Beyoncé. You don't talk during Beyoncé."
I want to capture the finger wag.
It was real. It was so real.
Have some respect.
Have some respect for Beyoncé. Yes. And that type of like gumption is the gumption that translated on stage for Beyoncé and is now translated into this documentary.
Nice. Kiana, what'd you think?
Yo, okay, so I'm gonna backtrack to when it happened last year. I don't know what happened. Oh, I was asleep because it was so late.
Yes.
So I completely missed it when it was live streaming, but I woke up the next day and I watched it by myself and I live tweeted it by myself and it was still a thrilling experience. And I watched it obviously again last night and I just like, I feel so dramatic saying this, but I immediately started crying as soon as I saw her. Like,
right?
When they open the scene and like all the dancers and the musicians are like leading to her. Mm-hmm. And then you see her for the first time in this regal like crown and she looks like royalty. And I was just like, oh my God, like we finally have a queen. Like we knew that she was our queen, but just seeing her like that was like, yo, this is it. So it was fantastic reliving that.
That's great. How about you, Brittany?
I was so floored the first time that I saw the performance. I, like Kiana, I had I went to bed that night. I'm 31 years old. I can't be staying
it
up
was
enough.
Really
and we're on the East Coast. Yeah. We're on the East Coast. So.
I think the most generous and knowledgeable thing that Beyonce did as somebody who understands her fans was to rebroadcast the performance mm-hmm. during like daytime East Coast the following day. Mm-hmm. Like Kiana, as soon as that first shot with the female snare drummer mm-hmm. and all of those
the
women.
The nostrils.
Oh. Yes. Oh, the nostrils yeah. flaring. It took me right back to the very first homecoming that I attended at Howard University, mm-hmm. my alma mater. You might have seen Beyonce throughout her documentary wearing a Howard sweatshirt yep. as an ode to my college. But it took me back to my first experience, 17 years old, at homecoming, around all these beautiful black people, like watching the Howard University Showtime marching band show out on the field. Ooh La La, the dancers that were, I guess, like we would call a lot of times majorettes that dance with the marching band, like at black schools and also a lot in the South.
Mm-hmm, dancing dolls and...
Yeah, dancing mm-hmm. dolls and the J-sets. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were out there on the field getting it. And, like, I was really just touched by the level of specificity of detail. I am a Black American woman. I'm not from the South, but I did attend an HBCU. And that culture is so close to my heart. This is who I am. And I had never seen that subset of Black culture put out into the mainstream in a way that was so tender and so loving and so... Well done.
This was a total love letter to HBCUs yeah. and the mm-hmm. culture that it nurtures and cultivates and the beautiful Black people that come from this lineage and this culture. Mm-hmm. Brittany, as you said, it was an encapsulation of it, but it was broadcast on the widest scale right. possible.
Mm-hmm. Well, and with the biggest budget possible.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I mean,
I think, oh, yeah.
I mean,
definitely.
One of the things you really glean watching this is how personal an experience this is for the people who love it. Every time I've talked on the show or on All Songs Considered or whatever about how much I love Beyonce, somebody will always clap back at me in my mentions or whatever, like, nah, Beyonce, she's overrated, blah, blah, blah.
And it's like, right.
I always imagine they talk exactly like that. And when you watch this, you understand why it is not hyperbolic. Yes, I mean, people will talk about Beyonce as, you know, the queen, as the, was it on the Good Place, 104% perfect or whatever, you know, when people talk about her. But like, she's putting forth a picture of Black culture that is unlike the pictures we have gotten because of how much budget, how much impeccability, how much just a showcase and a platform she has. One thing that I really appreciated watching this film, as opposed to a straight concert representation, if this had been a 2-hour and 17-minute Beyonce concert, I think we'd have all been thrilled. Mm-hmm. But the fact that she folds in so much of her process mm-hmm. really gives you a sense of how much work and how much practice and how much drudgery and misery and pushing herself beyond her limits and pushing her staff beyond their limits mm. went into putting on a show like this. You can, mm-hmm. you know, when you're watching it on YouTube and you see this gigantic set and 200 people on yeah. stage.
The end product.
Yeah. You mm-hmm. know there's work that went into that. And I don't know, as a process nerd, I just kind of appreciated having a sense of what went into it.
Yes, I love how you're going back to that notion of process because... spliced in with the long cuts of the beautiful, vibrant, joyful end result on that pyramid, on that stage, mm-hmm. is the 3 sound stages, the months of work, the dieting, the rehearsals, the technical problems that went wrong. And it's all leading back to the idea that everyone thinks Beyonce is effortless. She's become the queen, and she's, like, raised her own game so many times that it's like, yeah, it's already a prerequisite for you to be perfect, 104% perfect. A lot of the point of the behind-the-scenes stuff is to show you this was work.
Like, Beyonce is doing all of this, and she's still taking care of 3 kids.
She still has breastfeeding.
She was mm-hmm. like, she was working, going her kids. Like, I remember she was like, I got to get home to my 5011
yes,
children.
Right?
And
I,
like,
I
melted. I was like, yo,
children.
She is showing you that, like, and there was another moment where she was kind of not chastising the crew, but she was like, I want to be done with having this talk of getting better. Like, we should have been better already. Mm. It's time for us to keep moving forward. But even the way that she said it, it was in the tone of a leader. It wasn't someone being disappointed. It was someone knowing that she is well worth all the attention, the yes. eyes, the support that she has, and she's trying to extend that to other people. Also keeping in mind the fact that she is a human being and not a robot is incredibly exceptional.
Well, even to your point, Kiana, like, in that one scene where she is giving, like, I mean, I felt like watching this, I was like, Beyonce needs to be teaching at Wharton because, mm-hmm. like, she is such She's such a demanding but considerate and clear boss. It was amazing. But the specific speech that you're talking about, Kiana, she was delivering it like sitting in a director's chair, sitting next to Jay-Z, who's also sitting in a director's chair. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Like, this is her show, but he's sitting there. Okay. So she's talking to them at length about how they need to do better and what she's expecting out of them and how little time they have left to be able to close that gap. Mm-hmm. And at the end of that, she's like, I got to go. Because it's my anniversary.
Yep.
And I...
my anniversary.
Exactly. Yes. I love that. And I also noticed that's a thing that she... I did pick up on that's a thing that she does. It seems like when she knows that she's, like, gone in on somebody, she goes, like, Wicked Witch to Fairy Godmother real quick, and she'll sing a little something. Yeah. And I'm, like, taking notes.
Yeah.
But just to kind of diffuse the pressure.
You could definitely see her doing the sandwich effect. So saying, like, one thing's really good, and then just, like, ripping you apart in the meat and cheese and bread, and then putting another little... It's my anniversary. A little nice little jab of confidence. Yeah, a bookend.
Mm-hmm. I thought, to me, that was just a beautiful Black family thing to see.
Definitely.
Because you don't, it's rare to see, I would say, like, hetero married couples have a woman who has a career like that, and the man is so openly supportive. Like, if the kids are coming to set, like, Jay's bringing the kids. Right. He's sitting there with Blue. That's not a common dynamic that I think a lot of people are used to seeing, even though I'm sure it happens, but I don't know if it happens as frequently as it should. Mm-hmm. But, like, I just loved seeing her be the boss and have everyone in every arena of her life see that and know that and respect that.
One thing that I noticed watching the way she portrays herself. I mean, this is a Beyoncé film. She is legendary for controlling every aspect of the public image that she puts out into the world. And I was taken by the rawer moments that you do get to see, interspersed with very deliberate touches. Like, you see her rehearsing, you often see her in that Howard shirt, but you also almost always see her decked out in Ivy Park, which is her women's activewear label.
The brand is strong.
The brand is strong. And I definitely felt watching it like, oh, I'm getting this behind-the-scenes look, but boy, you are still getting the exact behind-the-scenes look that she wants you to see, complete with plugs for her activewear label. Did you feel like you were seeing the real her?
I think that we were seeing an aspect of the real her.
Yeah.
But, like, also, I don't expect to or even really want to necessarily know the full real her. Mm-hmm. And I think that she knows that. I think that, like, she's really good at managing that sort of beehive fan expectation of, like, understanding our desires, but also, like, sort of being this sort of all-knowing, omniscient presence that's, like, and also a human being who wants to sort of protect her private life.
Yeah.
But she knows, like, you guys want a lot, but you don't want everything. You think you want everything, but you don't want everything.
Exactly.
If you look at, like, her work and also, like, the documentaries or interviews that she's done that are in-depth that she's sort of had a hand in producing for herself, she's very intent on showing specific aspects of herself. I felt like it with her HBO documentary, Life is But a Dream, that came out a few years back, she was very intent on showing us, I am a whole person. You all think of me as this, like, this hardworking, perfect machine, but I am a wife and I am a mother and I am a daughter and I am a sister and I'm a friend. And I'm just trying to make it through this life and this is how I've gotten through this journey. And now, you know, through Lemonade and 444 and Everything is Love, like, she was showing us, I am a human being. I am just like you. Also, too, the woman is like, I said this on Twitter, she's basically gotten a doctorate level musical education, and she's not going to be out here giving away free game.
Like, not at all.
No, she's not.
Yeah, and what you were saying earlier about how she's giving us so many different, like, itemized things about her, and to specifically answer the question of, do we think we saw the real her? I think we did, and I think that because she represents so much, and she represents so much for so many different kinds of people, for women, for Black women specifically, for Black women from Texas. Like, there are so many levels, as I am a Black woman from Texas. So, like, I have a very, very particular attachment to her. And I wrote about my relationship with her and her music for NPR Music, actually. You should check it out. And but yeah, it's for the Turning the Table series led by Ann Powers. And that was a very cathartic piece for me because I was able to work through how Beyoncé has been, as I said in the piece, leveling up since she started in the game, and she's still doing that. So I feel like her true self is showing us that she is the master of leveling up. Like, she's excellent at what she does.
I've seen watching Twitter react to this concert special. One thing that I want to push back against that I hear from people sometimes is this, like, Beyoncé showing everybody how it's done. You wish you could do what Beyoncé does here. And I totally get that. Like, this is such incredible excellence on display. But saying, like, you can't measure up to Beyonce. Among other things, Beyonce has an absolutely incredible amount of resources at her disposal. And one thing that I felt like I was watching was not only somebody who puts in the work, but somebody who puts on a show that other people can't put on because they don't have massive amounts of wealth at their disposal. Mm.
Well, she's showing it takes a village and you can do it too. Like, you can perform with Beyonce. And the fact that she pushed herself for this performance, and she says at one point in the documentary, I pushed myself to the brink and this was my limit and I don't think I'll ever do it again, but I'm glad I did it. That shows the humanity of it. So that shows you actually can do it too. Like, seeing it on that level and the intricacies of it, I was like, you know what? If you give me some time, if I watch this doc many times, I could learn that step. I could be there with you.
I did not feel the same way at all.
Really? The bugaboo choreography?
I am 46 years old. If you gave me $10 trillion and 10 years, could not do it. I just don't want people to beat themselves up, you know? Like, because this is a triumph of work plus resources.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is a triumph of work plus resources.
And God-given talent.
And that's the other thing I was going to say. I think about, like, I've been in the Beehive for a really long time. And, like, I think about, you know, the thing about Beyonce is she hasn't always had the resources that she has now, number one. And there are other pop stars who have had, and some who do currently do have, the same resources that she does. They do not use their money or their time or their effort in the same way. That's the thing that actually inspires me about Beyonce. I don't need to put on a show at Coachella. Nobody will ever ask for that. Nobody is asking for that now. No one has asked for it in the past. Like, I want to see Beyonce's Google Calendar. Like, does she use Trello?
Right?
Is she on Asana?
That would stress me out. Does she use Trello?
Exactly. The person who, like, she is somebody who, because the thing is that when you're looking at this, and she talks about how much time it took to put it together, I mean, it seems like pretty much about a year. She's in rehearsals for 8 months.
8 months. Yeah.
So she had to be working on this for at least a year. Right? Like, within, what, 2 months of that coming out, she released Everything Is Love and also went on tour with Jay-Z. Mm-hmm. And it makes me feel like, I think the message that she's trying to give with the documentary also was that there's only one of me, but there's also only one of you. But that doesn't necessarily mean, like, in the being the Beyonce of something doesn't mean that you're the only one. It just means that you are consistently pushing yourself to be better in a way that raises the game of all of the people around you.
I cannot imagine being the Beyonce of anything. I strive to be like, who's the lead singer of Smash Mouth? I'll be the lead singer of Smash Mouth of something.
He's probably rich though, so what's bad about that? Let's you make a song that everybody loved for a summer. What's bad about that? What's bad about that?
I respect that. You be that, Stephen.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, before we go, we have been talking about Beyonce for a while and have not actually mentioned the music. That speaks to how much there is to unpack here. She also dropped a concert album around the same time that she dropped this film. So she also wants you to hear the songs as well. Kiana, what do you think of Beyonce's music?
Oh, boy. It was an incredible journey to hear, because I started listening to the album itself this morning. Last night I watched the film, and then this morning I woke up and listened to the album. And it's still like an incredible experience, just like listening to it wash over you and hearing the band and the live action. What got to me was at the very end, she ended the show with Love on Top, which is her thing, and then she started playing Before I Let Go by Frankie Beverly.
Amazing Frankie Beverly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she started playing like the regular version at the concert, which is the thing to do. At Black events, like if you want people to like calm down, get together, have fun, whatever you need, play that song. Play that song. So the fact that she played that at the end of her show was already like Blackness on 1,000. And then you hear the remix produced by Tay Keith, who was all over everything last year, like Blockboy JB, Drake, and he started hopping over to some other people. And then you hear like the bounce in it. And then you hear Cameo. Candy. And then you hear an interpolation of Aaliyah, Rock the Boat, all in one song. And it's Beyonce. I'm like, are you kidding? Like, I was emotional. I was overblown, but it was the perfect way to end it.
Perfect.
Before I let you go. I would never.
Well, she's also, musically speaking, she is giving you her family on stage. You have a guest performance by Jay-Z. You have a guest performance by Solange. You have guest performances by Destiny's Child.
Yes, it was totally a homecoming in every sense of the word. Like, she brought her biological family, and then she brought all of these beautiful kids on stage with her. I don't want to say kids. They're all talented musicians. But they brought youth to the stage with her. And Coachella is, you know, one of the most privileged and, like, let's be real, one of the whitest festivals, because it's one of the most expensive festivals in America. And she showed her commitment to Black culture so unabashedly. And there's a nice quote that she has. I think it's somewhere in the middle of the documentary where she talks about why it was important to have this much community on stage.
It was important to me that everyone that had never seen themselves represented felt like they were on that stage with us.
As a Black woman, I used to feel like the world wanted me to stay in my little box. And Black women often feel underestimated.
So I think it's only fair that we give Beyoncé the last word. I think that's how she would want it.
Absolutely, no question.
No problem with that.
Give Bey what she wants.
Well, we want to know what you think about Beyoncé's homecoming. Find us at facebook.com/PCHH and on Twitter at PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. We will see you all tomorrow.
Hey. All right, we're all set in New York. All
right. Hey.
Hey.
Hey, Miss Carter.
Good morning.
Hey, Miss Carter.
Good morning.
Y'all ready?
Hey, what's up?
I may be a young one, I'm ready. Hey.